Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC for hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got them rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do you think
they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me and bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Real revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame. But we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Well, I don't know what's going on. If y'all can hear me out there or not, I have no idea what is happening. Seems like we're having some sort of technical difficulties out here. I have no idea what is going on, everybody. Let me see if I can get something jumping off. Let me see if I can get something going on here, everybody. Test one, test two. Mic check one. Mic check one. Okay. I'm trying to see if we really got everything. Bam, yeah, okay, here we go. Now everything is moving. All right, that means my mic check. My mic did sound right. Check two. My mic did sound right. Check three. Here we go.
Marvin didn't try to be
magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight
you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony. Oh, let us sing, let our rejoices rise high. Loud as the Georgia.
Let the peace set from the places that God where we may be.
My Lord, I pray.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and homeownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the
hold it now, wait, hold it, that's played out. Hit it!
Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap about to happen like a knee you've been slapping, or a toe you've been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suit and two with a friendly attitude, and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe look kind of weird, and if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying. Here. Well, the Hulk was out, snow's on the ground. Folks stayed in, 240 down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks. And the drummer played at a solid pace, and the taste of the bass was in my face. And the guitar player laid down the heavy layer of the funky chunky rhythm of the disco beat. And the guy with the 88 started to participate, and I can sure appreciate the sound so sweet. We were all in the mood, so we had a little food and a joke and a smoke and a little bit of wine. When I thought I heard a hoop on the top of the roof, could it be it wasn't me? I was feeling super fine, so I went to the attic where I thought I heard the static on the chance that the fans put the body breaking in. Put the noise on the top with the reindeer top. It's a trick, Saint Nick, and I let the sucker in.
was rolling, he was holy, and I said, holy moly, you got a lot of wishes on your chinny chin chin. He allowed, he was proud of the hairy little crowd on the point of the door where the skin should have been. Get fooled for a fool, going out every you for a day on the plane when the cold winds blow. Through the beer, maybe weird, but I'll never have a cheer, cause it's warm in the storm when it's in below. I said, yo, God, it's cold tonight, but can you stop for a drop before you go? He said, why not? If the music hot and I'll chance to dance beneath the mistletoe. So he went downstairs and forgot his scares, and he rocked his spot and danced like a pro. And every young girl tried to rock his world, but he booked the yogi yogi till he had to go. And before he went, this fine old gent bought a gift with a fist to his big red bag. In the top or the bottom, he reached in and got a toy for the boys for the girl's glad rag. And a grown-up got some presents too. A new TV and a stereo. A new Seville by the bluest sky. The best that money couldn't buy. Cause money could never ever buy the feeling. The one that comes from not concealing. The way you feel about your friends. And this is how the story ends. The dude in red back at the pole up north where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say, Merry Christmas. And to all, a good night.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. I don't know what you mean. What did you say your name was?
I see that it's not clear for you good buddies to clean out your ears. Listen very close while I pop for a game. Cause my name's in the Hall of Fame. The K-U-R, the T-I-S, the first is the best, I must confess. The B-L-O and the W. I make you wanna catch the boogaloo too. Now if your name is Annie, get up off your banny. If your name is Ty, get off your backside. If your name is Steve, you don't need a seat. Cause I'm Curtis Blow and I'm on the go. I'm rocking to the rhythms in stereo. Now just fold your hands in the air and raise them like you just don't care. If you're ready like Freddy to rock, we'll steady. Somebody say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, young ladies, all the ladies in the house say, ow. And you don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. Let me see you rock. I get down. Stop messing around when Curtis Blow is in your town. I'm Curtis Blow on the microphone. A place called Harlem was my home. I was rocking one day. It started to shake. It sounds to me like an earthquake. I packed my bags. I said goodbye. I kissed my woman and I started to fly. I came to Earth by a meteorite to rock you all on the mic. So just kick off your shoes, let your fingers pop. The Curtis Blow is about ready to rock. Now the people in the back, if you're not the wax, say. The people in the front, if you want to bump, say. The people in the middle, if you want to wiggle, say. And the people on the side, if you want to slide, say. Not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a fighter or a writer or a politician. The man with the key to your ignition. Curtis Blow is competition. Young ladies, shock the house. That's young ladies, shock the house. Now just throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. If y'all really ready, rock the house. This morning somebody say, oh yeah. Fly guys, get high,
on. Rock the hip, the hop on. Like a little boy blue blowing on a horn. The DJ on a record trying to play a song. It's been that way since the day was born. I like a 25-cent bag of popcorn. Dip, dip, dab, so socialize. Plug your ears and open up your eyes. So you go here can't realize that I'm here to tranquilize. Got the knack of Cool Jack, better than Beretta. Casanova Brown, my clothes are down. I get down, stop messing around. When Curtis Blow is in your town, I'm a one of a kind, I'll wreck your mind. Put a wiggle, double wiggle in your behind. Twice as nice, I'm skating on ice. When my mama gave birth, she made me the baddest MC on earth, y'all. To the beat that makes you freak. Get out of your seat and freak to the beat. The weather is cold, so catch some heat.
Lots of happy little children waiting for sunrise. A stocking full of candy and a big surprise. Look at the happiness in their eyes. They're glad it's true. People caroling into the night. Where the snow is falling, birds play their lives tonight. We'll snuggle to a nice warm fire. I'm glad it's Christmas. But before this day gets underway, think of how much love you wish to give today. And wonder why we can't give it all every day. There is no reason. Every season is love. People really need one another. Man, woman, boy, girl, sister, and brother, we wish happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. And for this holiday season celebration, let's lift our hands to the holy nation to say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Happy birthday to you. Happy holidays to you. Oh, is the strength we need. Love is to share with you. Peace is to be with everyone. Hey.
holidays, everybody. You know, it's funny having Hanukkah or Thanksgiving. It's kind of wild. Throw everything off. Day two, hitting Bobby Rush again. But I'm not dissing Bobby Rush again. This ain't your boy Jimmy Lee. This is how the media is reporting on Reverend Rush. I have told my mother I was not going to be on this radio station. Me, that is. I'm not saying y'all, but me. Slamming Bobby Rush, you know. We go back. Now, I don't consider this a slam, but I hope it's not. I don't think Bobby Rush really been down with my family like my mother think he has, but I feel that in selection, my mother will see that I was right, but I hope that's not a slam. I'm getting this clip together. This clip I'm trying to get together now is from WBEZ in Chicago. I'm a progressive radio station. It's not Republican or Democrat, but it's progressive. It's independent radio. When I was little, full disclosure, we used to listen to WBEZ during the school strikes and stuff. And they would have shows on and have educational shows. And they have people call in for questions and stuff like that. We used to get posters sent to us. When school got in, we got a lot of stuff sent to us, posters, educational stuff like that. I was represent Hyde Park at that time. It was Hyde Park, my high school. WBZ was a good educational programming, and they get, if you want to know what's going on in the city of Chicago, Cook County, and basically all over the world, you can listen to WBZ. It's public radio. Kevin Smiley has a show on there also. So what I'm going to do first, while I'm getting all this together, while I was sessioning, getting together while I was talking, let me go on there and get my intro song. And like I told my people, Frank Roper, you can never go wrong with Stevie. But I guess I'm going wrong with Stevie right now because Stevie ain't playing.
We are amazed, but not amused by all the for a series of accusations that he may have violated federal election rules as well as Ethics Live's diversity issue. Dave Zirin joins us to explain why he thinks Chicago Bears wide receiver Brandon Marshall should be Sportsman of the Year. All those stories, plus more news, weather, traffic, and some local high schoolers are debating the Affordable Care Act. It's the afternoon shift. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Stay with us. Illinois Congressman Bobby Rush is under the microscope for a series of accusations that he may have violated federal election rules as well as ethics rules of the U.S. House of Representatives. The Better Governance Association and the Chicago Sun-Times are reporting on the financial conduct of Congressman Rush and his wife, Carolyn. With us to flesh out the story more is Better Government Association President and CEO Andy Shaw. On the line with us from Washington are the two BGA investigators that wrote the story, Chuck Neubauer and Sandy Burgo. Chuck, Sandy, Andy, welcome to the afternoon shift.
Always a pleasure. It's an important one to debrief.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Chuck and Sandy, I wonder if you can start with the basics first and what you found in your investigation.
Well, Congressman Rush's nonprofit, Rebirth of Englewood, received a $1 million grant from SBC Foundation back in 2001. It was paid out over 3 years, and they were supposed to build a technology center that was going to train people in high-tech jobs. They'd be able to fix and program computers. The center would have office space for new businesses, to incubate new businesses. And there would be a sort of a internet cafe on the ground level that would be very welcoming to the community. It would have been an incredible asset for the Englewood community.
So that was supposed to be on 68th Street in Halstead, right?
Yeah, that was the building that they ultimately purchased in 2004. When they purchased the building, it was after all of the money had already been paid out by SBC.
So a question that actually I'm just looking, you can always, by the way, if you have questions for us, you can give us a call, 312-923-9239. You can use the hashtag AfternoonShift on Twitter. Someone was just asking, did the money go to legitimate projects? What happened?
Well, we tried asking that question, and you know, the records show some of what happened. The records show that they did purchase the building. The records show that they hired an architect, and he was paid part but not all of his fee, according to his account of it. There are also some records that show that there were expenses paid that added up to a few hundred thousand dollars. The reports are very broad, very vague, and they're incomplete.
And the bottom line is that there is no tech center. There's no tech center at that site. There's no ongoing, you know, center that's helping people, you know, learn, you know, advanced computer skills.
And also, there's no record of where most of that $1 million went over and above the few things Chuck and Sandy referenced. Along the way, of course, they also discovered that SBC had spent several hundred thousand dollars on events for Congressman Rush, wining, dining, lodging, flying to basically show their support of him. And there's indications that in his role on the Telecommunications Subcommittee in Congress, he took several actions that were favorable to SBC. Now, no one is suggesting tit for tat or quid pro quo, but there is a governmental and a political component of this, along with the real question, where did the money go? And that's where you need agencies like perhaps the IRS or the Federal Election Commission or Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who regulates nonprofits, or congressional ethics people to step in, take that treasure trove of data that Chuck and Sandy put forward through the Sun-Times and try to get some answers to those questions, because we can shine a light on government, which is what this series did, but someone has to hold the congressman accountable if, in fact, there are violations of various rules and or statutes.
That's Andy Shaw, the president of the Better Government Association. We're talking about an investigation that Chuck Neubauer and Sandy Burgo did into U.S. Congressman Bobby Rush. Sandy, you started to say that you had gotten some answers. I wonder what the congressman's response was when you approached him with all of the details that you and Chuck had gathered about this?
Well, he had two answers. One was that he blamed the architect. He said that the architect had come up with a design that was attempting to build the Taj Mahal in the community of Englewood with storefront money. The architect tells a different story. He said that the building itself was a wreck. The basement was flooded because the roof leaked. And it was a very expensive project to rehab that building. They would have been better off. They would have saved money if they had decided to just tear it down and build a new center. So that was one explanation that the congressman gave. The other explanation was that, contrary to the initial statements made by his office and by SBC when they announced the grant, he said that there was never ever any obligation to actually spend the money on a center, but rather that they put on computer training programs throughout the community of Englewood in churches and libraries and such. And then when we tried to pin him down about that to say, okay, what were people learning? Was it this kind of high-tech vision that you had where people would wind up with professional jobs? He said, well, let's not split hairs. You know, it all went on programming, and then it was so long ago he didn't remember further details.
So a question in terms of the legality of this and how our election laws and contribution laws and things like that have been written. As you all have reported the story, did he do anything illegal?
You know, that's obviously not for us to say. When you talk about the contribution laws, you're getting into some of the areas that Chuck really looked at involving rent payments and payments to parties.
Yeah, well, illegal or is it something, an ethics violation? And, you know, as Andy said, that's something that people who have legal authority to regulate that have to decide. You know, in the case, I mean, one of the things that the tech center kind of does shine a light on, as Andy said, is that when we think of congressmen, you think of politicians, you know, who get campaign donations. And well, it turns out campaign donations are limited. But what the special interest in kind of like SBC, which is now AT&T, have found out is you know, that there are no limits if they give to a congressman's pet charities. It's kind of a not very well, you know, reported or disclosed on, or I mean disclosed by the media, on an area where special interests, you know, have a chance to help their favorite congressman. And one thing that's got to be, you know, I want to make clear here is that, you know, we know Congressman Rush, we know, you know, he's former Black Panther, pastor of his own church, former city council alderman. In Washington, he's been a powerful guy and a guy with influence and interest in telecommunications legislation and in energy legislation. I mean, that's a different hat he wears. And so what we found is that those industries, I mean, it's not just SBC, which is now AT&T, but, you know, also Comcast and ComEd and some other groups that are, you know, that have had dealings with the congressman, you know, have given a lot of money to his pet project.
So let me ask this question, and Chuck and Zitti, you're in Washington, and Andy, I'm sure you'll want to chime in as well, but how often does this happen? Do, as you're talking about different special interest groups or others giving money to politicians, I imagine this happens all the time in Washington.
Nyla, this is the new way to circumvent campaign finance, as Chuck and Sandy pointed out. You have a limit of several thousand dollars in direct contributions to a congressman in any political cycle, yet you can give a charity $1 million. He was able to funnel campaign cash to his church on the south side, too, to the tune of almost $200,000, as Chuck and Sandy pointed out, and he was able to pay his own wife $400,000 as a consultant to his campaigns, even though there's no paper trail suggesting the work she did to earn that money. And the last of the disclosures, again, enormously troubling, was thousands and thousands of dollars in apparent free rent on a political office
with nothing ever declared with any election officials or the IRS or anyone else. And so what you have is this whole murky area of how money can flow irrespective of the rules, and most sadly, the fact that the agencies and organizations chartered with oversight really don't do their jobs. The Federal Election Commission is a paper tiger. The IRS rarely comes in, except in cases like Jesse Jackson Jr. The Illinois Election Board, again, limited with staff and interest, and the Attorney General, who has scrutiny over nonprofits, nowhere to be found in this. And so it takes watchdogs like the BGA, with the help of Chuck and Sandy, to disclose this and then to say, come on, folks, we pay a lot of money for the oversight panels. Do your jobs and then answer your question, Nyla. Is it illegal? Is it just bad behavior? Is it ethical breaches? We don't have the answer there. There are people who statutorily are basically tasked with finding that out. And what we're saying to them today is, do your jobs, get to the bottom of this, and hold the congressman accountable for what he should be held accountable for.
That's BGA President and CEO Andy Shaw on the line with us as well from Washington, Chuck Neubauer and Sandy Burgo, who did this investigation. Andy, why Congressman Rush?
Well, that's an easy one. Chuck and Sandy were assigned by us to take a look at the Illinois delegation. We felt that it's not enough for the BGA just to focus on city, county, suburbs.
So you looked at every member of the Illinois delegation?
Well, Chuck and Sandy can tell you that they did a cursory examination of all of our congressmen and senators with the assignment of finding things that seem to be irregular in the way money flows, because ultimately you have to make sure these people are spending our tax dollars intelligently and honestly and handling their own finances in the same way. Congressman Rush's handling of finances jumped out at Chuck and Sandy, and that became the story. I'll let you pick it up, guys, but isn't that essentially what happened?
Yeah, we started looking at a couple things. One was this pet charity donation, which is something that is only recently become something that the corporations have to disclose. And the other thing about how these charitable donations get around limits is that under federal campaign law, corporations are not allowed to actually directly make contributions to political figures. When you hear about, corporate money going to politicians, it's really from the political action committees, money that's gathered by the employees of the corporation. But in terms of donating to charities, there is no – that rule doesn't exist.
Go ahead, Chuck.
No, I was just going to say, in this case, so we took a cursory look, and basically, Sandy took a cursory look, and basically, he got more of the special interest money, money for pet charities, than anybody else in the delegation, at least in,
in Illinois.
In the last couple of years, which begged the question that it required a further look. And Sandy saw mention of the technology center and started to figure out that, wait a minute, where is this technology center?
Yeah, that's the other thing that jumped out. It's like, what happened to this technology center?
And what happened to the hundreds of thousands of dollars that are apparently unaccounted for, which is
right. Equally
troubling? It would have been nice for Englewood to have the center.
Sure.
But where'd the money go when the checks were turned over to the proper place within 3 years and they can only account for a couple hundred thousand of $1 million?
So question for you. I think we've, this came out a couple days ago. We've seen people talking about this in Chicago. I'm curious to what is going on in Washington, if this is a topic of conversation and what people are saying there.
There's been a lot of Chicago comment. We haven't seen a lot of Washington, D.C. comments.
But they all have access to the same sources of information, and we would hope that the authorities in Washington, just as those here in Illinois, will do their homework, scoop up the articles and the information in them, and begin to ferret out what is and isn't appropriate. And let me just point out, the federal government is the largest employer in the Chicago area, and we send 20-plus individuals to Washington to represent 13 million Illinois residents. And so let me just say that this is the start of an expanded area for the Better Government Association. We're going to shine just as bright a light on congressmen, senators, and federal employees, at least those in the Chicago area, because there are too many of our tax dollars on the line here to be spent or misspent without some light being shined.
One question I wanted to ask about, one of the things you've done, there's been a series of stories, Chuck and Sandy, that you all have done, and we've mentioned a few of them about the rent, about the congressman's church. There was another one about using campaign funds to pay his wife as a consultant.
Right.
So one thing that you, I know you said you all haven't, it's not obviously your job as journalists to determine the legality of it, but surely you spoke to different people in the government or the Federal Election Commission about these sorts of things?
Here's the FEC and Congress, in their wisdom, have decided that it's okay for congressmen to, on their campaign staff, not on their congressional staff, but on their campaign staff to, you know, employ relatives, wives, children. But what they say is you only pay them the market rate, you know, the same amount of money that you would pay, you know, a non-family member. And so it's really, unless somebody looks at it, it's kind of up to the congressman to determine that. We asked the congressman and we tried to ask his wife, you know, what it is that she does exactly for him. And he chose, you know, they didn't respond. The congressman the last really serious opponent he had was then State Senator Barack Obama in 2000, who the congressman beat quite handily. He's not had really serious opponents since. He's sometimes in the general election, his opponent's a guy who's a professional clown. We're not sure, you know, what all she has to do. I mean, the campaigns, you know, they do have needs and they do.
Well,
have
but campaigns. I mean, but so. She's so you don't know what her role was, but he has a campaign staff because he does have to run re-election.
He does have to run re-election. Yes.
Okay.
And this is a loophole that I think Congress should revisit at some point. Not that they will, because it benefits themselves. But it really, when you think about this, when you've had nominal opponents for all these years, and your wife is still worth $400,000,
$400,000 out of a $1.6 million
and
that they've been raised.
Another of the more troubling things was the fact that they apparently paid no rent on a political office in Bronzeville for the last decade, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars in free rent, and equally troubling, nothing was ever filed with election officials, and that is at least that's an in-kind. If it's an in-kind contribution, it's got
to
be listed on your campaign, and it far exceeds the limits. If it's a gift,
what's the limit?
I think it's $2,400 per election, which means in a cycle of a primary and a general, $4,800 or about $5,000.
Five grand.
For 2 years. We're talking. 20+ grand per year, nothing filed. And if it's a gift, just a gift, they're giving you the free rent because they like you, then you have vastly exceeded the limits of your gift policy in Congress. And those two alone could warrant sanctions and or fines at both the Congressional and the Federal Election Commission level if, as I said, people take it seriously and look into it.
So that's Andy Shaw, President and CEO of the Better Government Association. I'm afraid we'll have to wrap this conversation, but I know that Chuck Neubauer and Sandy Burgo, the BJ investigators on this in Washington, will keep an eye on this story. Thanks so much for joining me.
Our pleasure. And Nyla, if people want to read the entire series, go to bettergov.org. Chuck and Sandy did a marvelous job, and all four stories in full detail with charts are at bettergov.org. It makes for some very interesting reading.
Thank you.
Yeah, just give me one more second.
Bobby Rush has been a congressman from the south side of Chicago for 11 terms. In 2000, Rush was facing a challenge in the Democratic primary from Barack Obama, then a state senator. During the campaign, Rush announced he was launching what he called the Rebirth of Inglewood Community Development Corporation. Its aim? To help revive the crime-plagued neighborhood and to give a leg up for high technology jobs to, in Rush's words, economically disadvantaged students and the unemployed. The congressman and the phone company, SBC, said a big part of the plan would include creating what they said would be called the Bobby L. Rush Center for Community Technology, and SBC would donate $1 million to help. But the center never was built. Rebirth of Inglewood ended up being shut down. And the $1 million, Chuck Neubauer and Sandy Burgo from the Better Government Association broke the story in the Chicago Sun-Times.
We do know that they bought a building with the intention of building a tech center. We know that they hired an architect and paid him part of what he was owed. And the records show that they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to build the tech center, but since it was never built, the records aren't clear on, you know, what that money really covered.
Congressman Rush blames the architect. He said the architect was trying to build the Taj Mahal in Inglewood with storefront money. The architect tells a different story. I mean, he said, you know, he didn't get his final payment. And that's kind of one of the reasons the project kind of slowed down. And he says the high cost of the project isn't his fault. That the problem was is that they bought an old dilapidated building, which should have been knocked down, and to rehab it was really expensive. The building had remained vacant for like 5 years. And then in 2009, Rebirth, one of Congressman Rush's groups, sold it to the Wellness Center, another one of the congressman's groups. It was a sweet deal for the Wellness Center. The first price was $150,000, but basically the Wellness Center has yet to pay Rebirth two-thirds of that. We asked the congressman if this was a sweetheart deal, and he said it was a sweetheart deal for the people of Englewood who now have a first-rate health facility.
One moment, my phone caught me off guard. As a matter of fact, this was a commercial. Matter of fact, you can never go wrong with Stevie.
Hello, Jesus children, Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you hearing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You said, I'm telling your story back.
Now, Dana, what you could do, like I said, I don't know how long you was on, but like at the half an hour mark of my show, I got Andy Shaw. For those who don't know, Andy Shaw is from the Better Government Association here in Chicago. And they got their teeth in Bobby Rush. So I ain't going to hold you on that note. But what I'm going to do for 1 second, Dana, back in the blue room, DC Dana's in the blue room, I'm going to play the Chicago Tonight clip. I played it yesterday, but I'm not beating it in the ground because I have a Talk to Me Tuesday fan club also. I got an Open Mic Monday club, What's Going on Wednesday club, Underground Radio Thursday club, that's New Music Thursday, that is, and I got a Talk to Me Tuesday fan. So here's a replay. And if y'all missed it again, go back and archive it. I like those archives number better than my live numbers, because I mean you love my show. Here we go.
A new investigation by the Better Government Association and the Chicago Sun-Times raises serious questions about Congressman Bobby Rush and how he handles sizable grants from special interests. More than $1.7 million has been donated to charities and projects that he supports, some of which reportedly never came to fruition. So, where did the money go? Here with some answers and some insights is BGA investigative reporter Bob Hergeth, who has more on the story. Bob, welcome back to Chicago Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, what prompted the investigation of Congressman Rush?
Well, as you know, the BGA is a watchdog organization. We're based in Chicago. We're rooted in Chicago and Cook County. For the past year, we've expanded our reach into looking more at statewide government, and also we've been trying to look a little bit more at federal government and the Illinois delegation in particular, congressmen and senators representing Illinois. So we, our task over the past year was just to look at the finances, the campaign finances in particular, of members of the congressional delegation. And so we weren't particularly looking just at Bobby Rush, but at other members, pretty much all of them. And he, there were some concerns sort of bubbled up just from the research we were doing.
So you have two articles coming out tomorrow, Friday, and then you have two more coming out on Sunday. Let's talk about the two that are coming out tomorrow, first of all. And one of your articles is called The Million Dollar Question. What is the Million Dollar Question?
Well, back in 2000, Bobby Rush, still in Congress, he's been in Congress about 20 years, was running in a primary campaign against a guy named Barack Obama, then in the General Assembly. And at that time, during that race, Bobby Rush forms a nonprofit called the Rebirth of Englewood. And it's designed to tackle violence and the poverty that is really ravaging the Englewood neighborhood of the South Side. And, you know, and one of the goals, well, shortly after he forms it, he, the group gets a $1 million donation from the charitable arm of SBC, now AT&T, telecom company. And the goal of the money is to build a tech center named after Bobby Rush in Englewood. And the tech center was going to be doing training on computers, business incubator, internet cafe, sort of a community center with a high-tech sort of slant.
So it was supposed to be have a physical location where the center was supposed to, and that's how it was presented, and that's what the press releases said at the time and so
correct.
Forth.
It was supposed to be bricks and mortar tech center. Bobby Rush put out a press release on it. SBC put out a press release, and the money arrived. And fast forward till today, a decade later and more, the money's gone. There's no tech center. And our story is what happened.
Where did the money go? Where did this $1 million go that was earmarked for a physical location where this tech center was to have been built?
It's a really good question. That's the essence of why we're here and why we're doing these stories. We don't know where it went, and Bobby Rush has been unable or unwilling to really properly explain where it went. He said, generally speaking, it went toward programming. You know, the same kinds of things that were going to happen in this tech center occurred off-site at different facilities, but there are apparently no records, at least that we know of, that validate this and show exactly how, when, where, why it was spent.
And you also raised the question of the timing of this $1 million, when it was given. What are some of the questions pertaining to the timing of the gift?
Sure. And again, you know, SBC is a telecom company, and Bobby Rush sits on a very important congressional committee that deals with telecom matters, stuff with phone companies and internet providers and whatnot, cable companies, as well as energy companies. He has been a longtime member of this House committee and an influential member. And SBC, around that time, was seeking legislation through that committee. But SBC was not alone. Various other companies, SBC became AT&T, as well as ComEd and Comcast, also donated money to charities affiliated with Bobby Rush, either founded by him or otherwise affiliated with his family. And what's significant about this is there really are no limits in giving to charities, even if they're affiliated with a politician, whereas if you give straight-up campaign donations, there are restrictions and greater oversight and greater public scrutiny. So this is so what we found was over a decade or more, $1.7 million, including the $1 million from SBC for the tech center, were given to these nonprofits.
Okay, so you're talking about two different things. You're talking about the $1 million that was given for a tech center that was never built, and you say that from your perspective, it's unclear as to where that money went. And then the second article, which is called The Utility Man, and you've already touched on this briefly, but who are the utilities and more on what they did?
Right, utilities, well, SBC, which became AT&T, ComEd, which is, you know, Exelon is its parent, electricity provider, Comcast, which is, cable company that ended up, merging with NBC. Now, these are groups, special interests, that have sought legislation, approval for legislation in Congress, and to do so, it has to pass through this House committee on which Rush sits. And
he was a pivotal person,
yes,
regarding the business that these utilities were involved,
right,
in. So you write that these utilities gave money to charities that Bobby Rush was involved with. For example, some of the charities?
Well, for instance, Rebirth, which is what the group that was going to build this tech center, got $1 million from SBC, as we said. There were related charities. Bobby Rush is also an ordained minister. And he has several religious charities that he's linked with that have also received grants from these groups. And, again, there's nothing illegal about this. We're not even saying these are necessarily bad causes. What we're saying is this raises a lot of questions because there are no limits. And, we asked the question, was this giving trying to end run the campaign process, where there is a lot more oversight? Was this influence seeking? And Bobby Rush, was offended by that, and the charities either wouldn't talk to us or said that this is just about giving to worthwhile causes.
And just to underscore, all of the utilities that you list had business in front of the committees of which Bobby Rush was a member.
Yeah, one time or another, yes.
AT&T also funded receptions. Tell us about SBC became AT&T, funded receptions to the tune of how much money?
Right. We also found that our investigative reporters who are based in D.C., Sandy Burgo and Chuck Neubauer, found that also there were receptions, $300,000 were spent on receptions honoring Congressman Rush at various times over the past few years, at hotels and gala celebrations, whatnot. So that's on top of the $1.7
million. Compared to other Illinois Congress and members of the Illinois congressional delegation, you say you've been looking at everyone. How does Bobby Rush compare to them in terms of the amount that he has received by way of donations to charities and other in-kind kinds of contributions?
Sure. I mean, the reason we're writing about Bobby Rush and focus on him because he did bubble up to the top. I mean, there was nobody else that we know of that has this level of money flowing into charities in related ways.
And a little bit more on what the congressman has said in response to questions about this tech center that wasn't built, these charitable contributions,
sure,
that were made, the amount of money that was spent on receptions.
Sure. Well, what the congressman said, we did talk to him a couple of months back, and we've been researching this for a long time, and one of the reasons he said that the tech center did not get built, he sort of blamed the architect. Well, the architect was too grandiose in his plans, so he was too cost prohibitive. But at the same time, then he said, well, the tech center was never supposed to be built. It was just all along. So
he was saying it was never intended to be a bricks and mortar project, even though at the time that's how it was presented.
Right, at the same time, that there was an architect designing a bricks and mortar thing. So his explanations really don't add up.
You must have talked to former employees, people involved with the organizations that received this money. What did the employees say?
Well, there was a one person affiliated with the Rebirth Group that left because this was, you know, over concerns over this sort of shift from bricks and mortar to, well, let's just deal with programming. And other people we talked to, a lot of people would not talk to us or did not remember and didn't what happened to the money or did not know. They said they did not know what happened to the money.
How about the utilities? What response did they give you regarding the motivation for the contributions and the fact that some of the intended targets never came to fruition?
Well, Congressman Rush told us that SBC AT&T was very happy with how the money was spent in the end. They would not talk to us or answer questions for us on this.
Now, a second round of stories, as we mentioned, is coming out on Sunday. Can you raise the curtain on what the topics of those stories are?
Sure, happy to. Part of what we're looking at, what's going to be coming out Sunday, what we're going to focus on is just more trouble with Congressman Rush and his finances. One story is going to deal with his personal finances and some very fairly troubling things that we found with that. Another relates to his campaign-related behavior and whether and possibly we've got some questions raised about whether his campaign fund is violating federal law.
What are the reporting kinds of requirements that a congressman is subject to?
Sure. A congressman that runs charities or nonprofits has to and wants that tax exempt status has to file certain reports, disclosure reports required by the IRS. It's notable also that that the Rebirth Group that I mentioned at the start that was supposed to build this.
Come on now.
$1 million tech center stopped filing these reports and actually was had his tax exempt status stripped away by the IRS and then it eventually shut down and just folded. Congressmen also have to report per FEC rules, Federal Election Commission, donations, expenditures, things like that, money that's flowing in from donations. But also, and the tax exempt reports also do deal with some donations and whatnot, but you know, if you're not filing them, then the information's not there.
Bob Hergood, thank you so much for stopping by and raising the scene for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you can learn more about the investigation on our website.
All right. Let me go in there and bring I lost the other caller. Bring Dana in. I don't know if she's listening or not. Were you listening, Dana?
I was listening.
What do you think? What do you think?
I think that it's a sad way to fall. That's what I think. I think that after 22 years, I would hate to be in a situation where now I am being stuck accused of misappropriating funds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just don't want to go out that way.
Would you rather have him?
Kind of like my situation, right? After 25
Dana,
years.
Would you rather have him go out, not fight for Dana Robinson, rights and freedom, than misappropriating funds?
See, that's the thing. It's like my situation. I'm giving you an example. But it's different in a way. My situation was I had served for more than 25 years honorably, did the best I could. Then because I complained that as a black person I was forced to work in a racially segregated workspace, I was then threatened, my children were threatened, I was harassed, I was bullied, police were used to harass us. It got to the point where I was afraid for my life. But I still didn't do anything wrong. You see what I mean? Now, I didn't want to have my career end in such a way. But it is what it is. So for him, I'm sure that after 22 years, he'd hate to be in a position where now he's being made the bad guy. And he stole the money. He embezzled the funds or whatever they're saying that he did that was wrong. You know, it's just not something you want. You just don't want that at the end. You want the end to be nice and smooth and We had good times. Everybody parties, high fives, see you later, right? And it's just really a bad way to go.
But was that all it was, though, Dana? But was that all it was? Momentary thrills, not worth remembering, gone, gone forever. Was that it, Dana? Hit it, Ebony. See, the key, it would have been hit right there. When I said hit it, it was like, bam!
Right. That's it all it was. Perfect song.
That all it was, we'd have passed some time. For the past dozen years, Congressman Bobby Rush hasn't reported paying any rent for his campaign office on the South Side. Experts say that could be a violation of federal election law or House ethics rules. And it's one of a series of questionable practices that an investigation by the Better Government Association and the Chicago Sun-Times found involving Citizens for Rush, the Congressman's campaign committee. Chuck Neubauer and Sandy Burgo broke the story in the Sunday Sun-Times.
The Congressman says he doesn't need to report it because it's not a full-time campaign office and because it's mainly used for storage. But the problem is that even using it on a part-time basis triggers a requirement to make that disclosure.
Both the Federal Elections Commission and the State Board of Elections say that, you know, if a campaign gets something for free that has a value, it's an in-kind contribution and it has to be reported. The principle is, you know, the public has a right to know who's bankrolling congressmen and other public officials, you know, who's giving them large cash donations and who's, you know, paying, giving them free rent. In records they filed with the Cook County Assessor's Office, they said that the rent for the congressman was a little over $20,000 a year. That's the rent that he should be paying, but his campaign records don't show him paying that kind of rent or any kind of rent for this space.
The campaign fund also has given more than $196,000 since 2004 to Beloved Community Christian Church, which Rush founded and where he is pastor and president. That's despite election rules that spell out that campaign money should go only toward bona fide campaign purposes.
The congressman has a blanket policy against answering any questions that relate to his church. But, you know, from the records that are available, we could see that there were significant donations made to the church right around the time that his congregation was purchasing its current building, and also right around the time that the church needed money to settle a lawsuit.
And the congressman's wife, Carolyn Rush, has been paid a year-round salary since 2007, totaling more than $400,000 as a consultant. That's nearly a quarter of the money the congressman's campaign fund has raised in that time. Last year alone, Carolyn Rush was paid more than $80,000.
He's not the only congressman who has a relative work on his campaign. The FEC rule is that you've got to pay them the fair market rate. You can't pay them more. So you basically are supposed to pay your relative what you pay an outsider or non-relative to do the campaign work.
One of the things that distinguishes the campaign payments that go to Mrs. Rush is that they are year-round. So, you know, any campaign has its ebbs and flows, but she's getting paid every single month, regardless of whether it's the month before the primary, the month before the election, or, you know, many months away from those high points.
And what, you know, makes the payments to her interesting, or just the money he raises, is that he pretty much hasn't had a serious opponent since the race with Obama back in 2000. You know, some years his general election opponent was, you know, a guy who's a professional clown. You know, he usually gets 80% of the vote.
Of all his campaign expenditures, the payments to her represent a pretty high percentage, right?
Right.
I'm tired of saying that the general opponent is a professional clown. I guess the year of the Geechee is over. No more clowns, Bobby Rush. You got to fight now. What do you think about that, Ms. Robinson?
I think it's really interesting to say it.
Well, I was about to say something, but it's a rush-free zone. So I'm not going to rush today. But you said sad, Dana.
You get sad.
You know he knows better. He knows better. And you would think that he would think that when Jesse went down, it was a matter of time. When they got Jesse on, it's far different than what they got him on. You know. So,
it's funny how things like that work out, you know. And we tripping on fur coats, you know. But you know what happens, don't you? It was the money. The money made him do it, Dana.
Hello and welcome to Common Sense TV. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense and the Junkyard Dog. They have indicted Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, and it is a tragic day in America. I mean tragic. This is a tragedy. Now, I don't understand why Jesse Jr. has to go to jail, because it's not his fault that the money was calling his name. I mean, the boy went to sleep, and when he went to sleep, the money woke him up and said, Jesse, rise and spend me. It wasn't his fault. I mean, if you ask his daddy, he'll tell you it wasn't Jesse's fault. Jesse Jackson Sr., could you explain to the folks what really happened? Well, it's not Jesse's fault. Let me tell you, it's the white man making Jesse take the money. They put the money in front of Jesse. Jesse had to take the money. The money called his name at night. The money called his name when he traveled. The money made his mistress need that watch and other things. It's not Jesse's fault. I think we should sue the white man for making Jesse take the money. That's what we should do. Can't I get an amen? I'm sick of the oppression and suppression and rejection and subjection of the black man. Jesse is innocent. I'm telling you, the white man is to blame for putting the money in Jesse's hand. They knew he was bipolar. If he is bipolar, he very well can't be blamed for this. It's not his fault. White man need to stop oppressing the colored. We're still at the back of the bus. Jesse Jr. needs to get off because the white man put the money in front of him. Thank you, Jesse Jackson Sr. See, that's the mentality of the liberal mindset, especially Jesse Jackson. See, personally, I think it's the money's fault. Because Jesse Jackson Jr., the money should have known that he was going to steal it. You know, just like the gun calls people to shoot innocent people, we ban guns, we should ban money. That's the problem. If we had banned money, Jesse Jackson Jr. would never be in trouble if we just banned the money. No more money in America, damn it. Let's get money control. We start banning the money, we don't have to worry about the black man being oppressed by these white folks trying to force them to steal money. Now, let's ban money. I'm on a crusade. I'm going to get all the Hollywood actors and actresses to go on a crusade and make videos about how money is bad. We should ban it because it's causing people of color to steal the money. Now, we know they're not the only one. As a matter of fact, it's some white people that just stole some money, too. So I think, on that note, Jesse Jackson Jr. shouldn't have to go to jail because some white people got off, too. This is the logic I want to use to defend my client, Jesse Jackson Jr. His wife put a lot of pressure on him to keep up with the Joneses. And in order to keep up with the Joneses, he had to steal the money. How you think he gonna get his house redecorated if he don't steal the money? Now, you people are being unreasonable. As a matter of fact, he should get a bonus because he only sold $750,000. Now, that technically makes him a rich guy because Barack Obama said anybody making $250,000 or more was rich. So we're not going to get him on tax evasion and stealing the money. We're going to get him for being too damn rich. You need to be taxed, son, because you were stealing too much money and made yourself rich. And you know we are at war with the rich. Now, why aren't the media not saying anything about this rich, spoiled brat who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth? You know Jesse Jr. would not have been elected if it wasn't for his daddy. Now, come on now. This is nepotism. Now, Jesse was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a rich, spoiled kid. Why don't the media say this? He stole the money because he's spoiled and rich. His daddy had been ripping off. You know his dad is a professional pimp. And he's been pimping, getting money for years. And then he, matter of fact, why did Jesse Jr., Jesse Jackson Sr. ever go to jail for any? I know that boy's got to have been done something to be stealing or something. It ain't fair for Jesse Jr. to go to jail and Jesse Sr. gets to stay out. As a matter of fact, let's make Jesse Sr. the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr. Come on, Jesse. You need to at least go to jail for your son. Take the sins of your son upon you, my brother. Jesse Jackson Sr., would you be the sacrificial lamb for you?
Well, you know, I would be the sacrificial lamb, but it's not Jesse Jr.'s fault. It's the white man's fault, so therefore I can't be the sacrificial lamb. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you suppress, oppress, depress, or depress me. Not going to happen. You may as well get another sacrificial lamb. How about let's get a white man to be the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr.? That sounds like a winner to me. Can I get a amen? That's what I think the problem is. The white man made Jesse steal the money. Now let him off. Matter of fact, give him a couple of $1 million.
John was here. After going through, he looked back at that old mule and said, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all. Gonna go back home and sing it like we used to a long time. I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance. You know, we didn't have a lot of music come. Oh,
I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance.
I like that. Come on. Praise him in the morning.
Praise him in the morning.
Praise him all day.
Praise him all day long.
Come on, help me. I feel like
he's praying.
Yeah. If you don't want Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I had to take my Jesus break for a second. That felt good. That felt real good. Now, let me tell you why it felt real good, everybody. My birthday, I became the Republican nominee for the 1st Congressional District of the great state of Illinois. The day after my birthday, the day after the dist, my Democratic opponent catches fire. Why and who and how, you may ask? Then I have to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, when he cleared the path for you. So, I feel blessed. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. Separation of church and politics. But if you evangelical conservatives out there listening, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you true believers in the Most High, true and living God, keepers of the faith. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
path has been cleared. And I'm very appreciative to what the Creator have done for me. And I will let him know over and over again that I do recognize his blessing. Sometimes we got to take a time out and recognize what the blessings that the Most High gives us. We think we ain't got nothing popping off. And sometimes in our dark moments, we think everything is hardcore, beating us down, and what have you. But in the words of the great Martin Luther King, only when it's dark enough can you see the stars. You know what I'm saying, Dana?
Absolutely. Jimmy, who sang that song? Because he had me over here rocking. Now, I got to admit, I thought she was going to throw in there the fact that I was set free.
That was Shirley Caesar.
And, you know, Shirley Caesar, that was jamming.
Yeah. Felt good, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was over here about to go start stomping.
Man.
That song sounds so good.
Man. Well, I'm in my show with it then. I don't get a repeat. Because it feels so good, Dana. You
absolutely. You know how it is when
loaded.
You introduce all this wonderful music, Jimmy. I have to go and get it because you had me showing this for some years.
Man.
Congratulations, Jimmy. I'm so proud of you. And
it feels so good.
I'm so happy to see that Jimmy Lee is going to D.C.
Well, let's not count our chickens before they hatch. Chicago has a reputation of sending people to the crazy house to Congress and crooks to Congress. I'm hoping that they might change their mind this time. And what better replacement than a Tillman? They're not losing. They're gaining a voice in the majority, not a whisper in the minority. Write that down. That sounds kind of hip. You know. So let me say 6 minutes, 26 seconds. All right. Now, Dan, I got 90 seconds. I know I'm ending it early. I'm going to play that song one more time. Now, then I'm ending with this. Maybe next week, the world will know what Mr. Rush did not do for you, Dana. And this will be solicited, unsolicited testimony. So I'm unsoliciting your solicited testimony, if that makes any sense. That's if you'd like to expose it, since you are done with the service, and it could be spilt milk, you know. It is what it is. But listen,
well,
everybody.
No, we don't need to cry over it.
Go ahead.
No crying over spilled milk.
I don't need to cry over spilled milk. Let it go. Like I said, sometimes, Dana, only when it's dark enough can we truly see the stars. You know, and that's the truth. So this is Jimmy Underground Radio Network. Maybe, hopefully, possibly, I might have Dr. Charles Love on to give us an inside scoop on what's going on with the Chicago GOP.
Come back, Charles, so we can, so you can tell me the right way.
And we're going to see if they still got any black candidates left. Well, I'm the only Chicago black Republican left. Good night, and may your God be with you. Hit it, Ebony.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called John. But I don't have that time tonight. But you gotta realize, if old John was here, after going through, he'd look back at that old mule and said, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. Come to tell somebody I feel like I'm praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all. Oh, I
feel like praising, praising him.
Praising in the morning.
Praising in the morning.
Praising all day long.
Praising all day long.
Can I feel like I feel like praising. gonna go back home and sing it like we used to a long time. I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance. You know, we didn't have a lot of music. Come, oh, oh, oh.
I'm gonna praise the Lord while I have a chance.
I like that. Come on, praise Him in the morning.
Praise Him in the morning.
Praise Him all day.
Praise Him all day.
Come on, help me. I feel like
I'm praying.
Yeah. If you don't want to go, don't hinder me, my mother. John declared, I don't live at the tiny house. I don't have a whole lot of nothing. But I declare to you that I know He's able. Does anybody know He's able? He's able. He's able to keep that you've committed unto Him against that day. Now let me hear you say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus,
nobody but
Jesus,
nobody but Jesus, let me hear you call Him, let me hear you call Him. Come on, Tucker.